Savannah. The title of this message is The Menu Has Changed. The Menu Has Changed. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Philippians 4, verse 10 through 20. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 20. Out of the New King James Version, I will begin reading. And when you're there, say amen and rise to your feet, please. Again, that is Philippians 4, verses 10 through 20. Amen. I'll begin reading out of the New King James Version. It says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever, and it'll stand the test of time. Lord, every time they try to discredit your word, it always brings credibility back to you. So, Father, I thank you for it, and I thank you that it is pliable to our heart. Lord, and I thank you that it is like the marrow to our bones that allows us to grow stronger and deeper in growth in the kingdom of God. We thank you for it now, and all of God's children said amen. Amen. You may be seated if you can. What I want to share with you is something that the Lord had been speaking to me for some time. I didn't quite understand it. And then I began to see some things begin to unfold. Many times we'll take scripture and we'll take it out of context and we begin to build a theology about it. How many of you have heard the scripture that my God shall supply all your needs according to Christ Jesus and his riches and his glory, right? And we start quoting that and everything. My God shall supply all my needs. My God shall supply all my needs. But if you forget that what he said prior to that, you're going to misquote where this comes from. Let me see if I can really set this up for you. You said, well, Pastor, you said you're going to talk about removing from the menu, that your menu has changed. Well, we need to change some things in the way we begin to quote scripture and begin to think that God's going to come through just because we quote it. You see, he supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But don't forget what the real meaning of this was to begin with. It's because they sacrificed. Because they sent provisions to the Apostle Paul, who was the one that established this church in Philippi. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Where is the Apostle Paul? He's unshackled. He is now in prison, getting ready to go before his case. To his ultimate demise. So he is now in receiving this blessing. So he's writing this letter back to the church that he planted. Do you understand this? The thing is, we need to have an understanding that we just can't start declaring that God's going to supply all my needs according to his riches. If we're not sacrificing. If we're not sowing. Right? Oh, yes, and it's just going to show up. How many of you would just love to be praying? All of a sudden, you look, there's that big old bag of money that you're praying for, right? Oh, we just want God to just show up and show up. Look, there's all my money right there that I need. Look at here. No, don't happen that way.
Yeah, it just fell right there in my lap, so I know it was from God. Right? Do you think it's gonna happen that way? We all have that thing like, okay, I'm gonna pray for the lotto numbers. And I'm going to fast just to make sure that he hears my prayer. And then if he doesn't hear my prayer when I fast and I pray, I'm going to begin to cry out to God and begin to just sob for God to give me those lotto numbers. Then you get that lotto ticket, you didn't even get one number to match. Not one. So the next time what you're going to do is you're going to get your prayer partners to come in agreement with you. And then we're going to go buy more than just one ticket. Okay, so now we're going to start putting our faith and trust in something that we're asking God to do to come through for us. We're going to put our faith and trust in the system. But not in him. Well, I'm going to God about it. For some of y'all, stop. I'm not talking about the lotto system's bad thing. Stop it. Stop it. Some of y'all are like, oh, man, I got to go throw my little lotto things away now. Stop. Giving you examples of where you're putting your trust. If you really want to get blessed, the whole Bible tells you how to do it. So, the Bible says this, that he gives seed to the sower. If you don't sow, you're not going to get no seeds. If you don't get no seeds, you can't sow. You can't get a harvest. You can't get your produce. That's going to talk about money again. No, I'm not. No. Matter of fact, I appreciate all these tithes and offering things that's going on and then asking for sacrificial seed being given to us. They asked about it, and I said, oh, Lord, here we go. If y'all don't know us by now, we don't like asking for it. We don't. Our belief is, God, we cry out to you what we need, so we sow where we can. And then if he comes through, nope, they said they're going to do it. Okay, you know what, God? Do it. Whatever. Whatever you're going to do, I trust it, I bless it, I receive it. That means you're going to give me more seed to sow. There's quite a few of you in here that have received many blessings from here. And I don't mean just the Lord speaking, but I mean we have sown into your life as well. Because I believe in sowing seed back into people's lives. So, I'm not going to talk to you about money. I'm going to talk to you about something that's different, is understanding the principle that God supplies everything for you. He does. He supplies it. So the Apostle Paul now is speaking to him. And incidentally, that this particular book in the Bible, Philippians, is known to be the happiest book in the Bible. He's very content about everything. He's telling him, I'm good. You read that, right? I'm content whether I'm full or I'm empty. Could be, I'm content when I'm fat and when I'm skinny. No? Some of y'all, when y'all, you know, when we don't tuck in the shirts no more because it's, because you're going to try to, you want to hide it a little bit. You don't like wearing jackets, but you're wearing it so it'll hide the long hair. The Dunlap. It done lapped over on the side, sir. So you. Okay. So we do what we can. Or if you look in your closet and you see nothing but black. Because you want to look thinner. The Apostle Paul is telling you, I'm good knowing when I've eaten too much tortillas. Or when I have nothing but vittles, nothing but vegetables. I'm good. I'm content. Thank you for sending me the blessings. But if you were to go back to that letter in chapter 2, he says, I'm going to send you back your messenger, this precious child who you sent to bring this blessing to us, who is actually sick and wants to be back with the church family. I've got to send him back to you. Thank you for everything. I'm content. I'm about to go and face this greatest trial that I know where I'm going. I know where God has shown me I'm going to go. Thank you for this offering. Thank you for the sacrificial seed, because I got to pay my attorney to take care of my case.
I want you to understand this. There's a lot of things that God will do for you because of what you do for him. Amen. Okay, don't get this. It's not about your works. It's about your obedience. Your obedience. He knew his call. He knew his purpose. And he did it. He did it. Do you remember the prophetic word that was given to him when they said, Paul, if you go into the city, this is what's going to happen to you. And he bound him up with the sash. Remember that? He says, it's not my will, it's his will. And if that's what the Lord leads, then that's what the Lord leads me to do. How many of us, if we would have got that warning, what would we do? See ya. Detour. See, I ain't going to go through this. But Paul went right through it. Why? Because he understood that God gave him a mandate to do something, and he's going to fulfill it. So he knew he had to do something. Now, what I want you to see here is that if you know that God is always the one that's providing for your needs, and he's the one that's given for you, he's taking care of you, he's provided for you, and then all of a sudden he switches things up for you. Right? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joshua, chapter 5. Here's what I'm going to show you, how he supplies the needs. But before we get it all twisted and think, well, he's going to keep on supplying, I'm going to show you something. Joshua 5, verses 10 through 12. When you're there, say amen. In Joshua 5, we all know that the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. In Egypt, they were slaves. When they came into the wilderness, now they were free. So here's where we are at now. And they're getting ready to cross over into Canaan. Watch what it says here in Joshua verses, chapter 5, verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on that day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Watch this, verse 12. Then the manna ceased on that day after they ate the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Y'all read that in scripture? What is that saying? You've been so used to me providing for you the manna that fell from the sky for you, that's going to sustain you, that's going to keep you, because you were so used to being in Egypt that you could be around the pots full of meat. That's what it says. You were to the point where I know that I can be eating. I'm a slave in Egypt, but at least in Egypt, I can have carne guisada. It's it, meat in a pot. Some of y'all don't know what that is. It's beef tips that are just, okay. And then you put that salt, garlic, and pepper. And then you... And then you just boil that meat to the point it's so tender. Well, they had flatbread. Unleavened, it was flatbread. It's tortillas. So when that meat's ready, you know, when the meat's ready, you know, you got to touch the meat. When you touch it, it just... You know it's ready. Come on, you know when you put that comino in there and you can smell that comino burning real good? Okay, now listen. See, the Israelites knew that when they were in Egypt, they understood they had meat. When he brought them out of Egypt into their freedom, now they're wandering in the desert and they're complaining that they don't have nothing to eat. So he changed the appetite and he changed the palate. He says, you're not going to eat what you used to eat because you'll always be a slave. You'll always go back to where you were. So I'm going to change your appetite and I'm going to change the menu. Now, you're not going to have to work to get this. I'm going to let it come from heaven. So when it fell, they're looking from their tents. What that is? What that is? That what it is? What that is over there? That's what it is.
How many of y'all know what manna means? What is it? How many times have you walked in the things of God and he's, and you're like, what is it, God? What are you doing? What have you been doing? Why am I going through it? What is it? What is it, God, that I've been going through so much that I don't have understanding about? That even in my own house, I see you moving supernaturally, but I don't understand what it. What is it? What is it? But it isn't until they came out of their tents. Because I'm going to give you something that will sustain you. It'll provide for you. For I shall supply all your needs. I will give you what you need. But I don't want you to get so content with me always giving. Because there's going to come a time that God are going to stop this. Because you're so used to having this particular food all the time. But I got to get you over to the other side. So I got to put a stop to this. But watch what happens before it stops. God told Joshua to circumcise those that have yet to be circumcised before they cross over. He says, I want you to circumcise those that got too much flesh that they didn't deal with before. Can I tell you who gathers the manna? The man. Who got circumcised? The man. Can you imagine, honey? Oh, baby, you time to go get the manna. You know what Joshua just did? I ain't got no more Tylenol. Got no Advil. Are you following me? You got to go get the manna. You know the men in that day said, shoo, we fasting today. You know they look, you know they, oh, baby. I know how to be okay. Well, I'm fat or I'm skinny. We're going to go skinny this day. We ain't getting out this tent. You see, how long did they have the manna? 40 years. 40 years. Now, you know, Sister Susie in the tent said, baby, I'm about sick and tired of having just eating this manna that just tastes like honey. Go bring me a little bit of salt. Bring me some water. Bring me that pot over here. Put it over here. I'm going to put some of this stuff in here. I'm going to put a couple little. I got some things that I brought home. We're going to make some things work. We're going to make this manna into some atole. That's either cream of wheat or grits. Well, they had cows so they could get the milk if they needed it. Watch this. He said, we got enough of this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mix in a little bit of onions. I'm going to mix in a little bit of cilantro. And what we're going to have is here, right here, is a vegetarian fajita taco. Make that bread. You see, you got to be very creative with what God has been giving you. Come on, come on. Let God feed you manna for 40 years. What you going to do? You going to gripe and complain? Oh, this ain't for me. I ain't growing like I'm supposed to grow. I need to be doing things that the Lord has called me to do. But right now, I'm stuck eating this manna. I'm stuck eating this thing that always falls from the sky. And I got to be the one to go out there and go get it every single time. They got so content with him always providing, they began to grumble and complain. Moses! Did God bring us out here for us to die? It'd have been better if we would have just stayed in Egypt and we could have been there with the pots of carne guisada, or for some of y'all, the menudo, or for some pozole. It could have been something that was in a pot that was savory for me. Well, isn't it just like God, before he moves you into a new place, that he changes things around you and what you eat, what you intake? Oh, but this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not how it's made back in the day. This is not how I'm used to having it. Are we getting so comfortable with the way that things have been going in your life that, God, I've been providing for you, I've been doing for you, but now I'm a little bit tired of this. Oh, you is, huh? Joshua, cut the skin off. He says, matter of fact, I want you to prepare your victuals, because in 3 days, you're about to go over. Now watch what the word says. Watch what the word says right here. Same scripture. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. What land? The land of Canaan. Wait a minute. So he provides for you up until that point, and then he gets you over and he ceases the way he used to provide for you. Okay, maybe you don't want to hear this. Some of y'all have been used to working 40, 60 hours just to make things work for you. And if you're always relying on your overtime just so that you can get things paid for, then God's going to put an end to that overtime so you learn to trust in him. He may even move you out of that job. And don't get it twisted. God does whatever he wants to. He's not asking you for permission. He may ask you what you think, but he didn't say what you're going to do. See, he's going to make you move from one place to another. He's going to challenge you in your theology. He's going to challenge you in your faith. He's going to make you have to trust in him in all things. And every time you want to go back to that thing that you used to do, he's going to tell you you're not going to do it, because you're going to put yourself right back in bondage. So I'm going to cease the way that I've been providing for you. I'm going to take it off the menu. I'm going to give you a taste of the produce of where you're going. I'm going to give you a taste. You're going to experience some things. You're going to experience increase supernaturally before you get there. You're going to experience somebody giving into your account that you didn't know where it came from. Why did that happen? Because you're going to have to rely on him supplying all of your needs in a different form and fashion. He took things off of the menu for your good. Why did he remove you out of one place to put you into another? Because you were dying where you were at. But you didn't realize that you were dying in a slow death. He says, before you can ever come up to the level that I have for you, I'm going to deal with that fleshy issue. And I'm going to remove that flesh by cutting it off by the one that followed the Father first. Hey! It's not going to be just somebody that's going to do it. It's going to be the one that knew how to follow after the progenitor, Moses. But Moses died. Then Joshua rose up to his rightful position based upon what God told him. So he spoke to Joshua and said, go get the men that have yet to be circumcised. Why did he say that? Because a generation had gone by and they had not dealt with the circumcision yet. So now these are older men. Watch this. Don't get this. Don't try to get this religious mindset saying, well, no, that happens on the eighth day. No, not in the wilderness. A whole generation of the old had to die away so that it couldn't be mixed in with this new generation. So when God did something new, he says, I'm always going to deal with your flesh before you cross over. I will always deal with your emotions, your soulless realm, and deal with your issues before you cross over. And they didn't have no knives per se. The way they did it was with some rocks. Lord. What anesthetic do we have that's going to help? What is going to take this pain away? Nothing. You're going to have to endure the hardships so that you understand that I will sustain you in this. Why? Supernaturally. Cutting away of the flesh with the rock. What is that? Symbolica? He's the rock. I'm going to cut this. And the blood that you're going to shed is to remind you that it was the same blood that I put over your doorpost that kept you from dying when the angel of death came. I'm the rock that's going to keep you. But what I'm about to show you is I'm going to put an end to what you're used to having. And then I'll make you cross over. You see, there's things that God will do supernaturally for you, but yet you get so caught up saying that's not the way it's supposed to be. God, you're not going to do it because that's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be I work, I get paid, I do what I'm supposed to do, and I provide for my family. And God says, not if I called you to do something different. That's not a ticket for y'all to quit your job. That's the green light for you to go and ask God specifics. Amen. Hello. I remember when we were over there at a special place serving a whole lot of hours. I'm working out in the yard at this church, and it's a big, big, big yard. Oh, God, I want full-time ministry. I want full-time. I'm going full-time. Full-time. You broke, son. The Lord said, no, he didn't. You said you want full time. I didn't say when. You need to get a job. No, the Lord said he's going to come through for me. No, you're going to get a job. You got family to feed. You've got to do something. So what I do, I tested the water. If it's you, God, you're going to give me the desires of my heart. First job that came my way was a catering job in one of the largest catering companies here in San Antonio. I said, what? Okay. I'll do it, God. So I go to the interview and they said, well, we're going to have to wait because the next hiring is not going to be for about another month. It's just no. I already said, yes, God, I'm going to take this job. And now they say no. So I apply at this restaurant. I go to this restaurant. I get the general manager's position there 2 weeks. Why y'all laughing? 2 weeks. The first day on the job, I tell my wife, I said, I got 3 people I'm going to minister to. And she said, no, you're going to keep this job. I'll share with you. We were homeless at the time. Living with, give me one of yours. We were with her sister, living with her, living in Willie's house. I made so many decisions based upon my own soul, my flesh, what I desired, what I wanted to do, and it was never God. So we lived in their home. When I got to this job, the Lord showed me 3 individuals I was going to minister to. I came out and said, the Lord showed me who I'm ministering to, and I'm not going to be here long. She's like, no! I bind that confession in the name of Jesus. First week, ministered to one person. Second week, the next 3. The last person that I ministered to was on a Sunday. On Monday morning, I get called in on my second week. And said, son, you're just a little bit too aggressive on your sales approach. And I said, I turned your bar sales from 6% to 60% gain in 2 weeks. I changed the look, I changed the atmosphere, and I changed the way people come into your restaurant. What is the real reason?
you're too aggressive. That's when the Lord told me, he goes, I told you, three and you're gone. I was going to get angry because I already had a finger pointed at me over here at home. You're going to keep that job. Okay. Minister to this young man and his wife, one who could not have a baby, and told her that this time next year she would have her child. Manifested the following year as such. Told this young man that he would be standing next to a man and being his armor bearer for a season of 2 to 3 years, and then he would launch out on his own and start his own ministry. Fully came to pass and is in his ministry right now with his wife and his daughter. When the Lord showed me all of this, he said, when I tell you that I will sustain you, I'll sustain you for my time. Right on that day, on that Monday, I get fired. I'm driving home figuring out how I'm going to tell my wife I got fired. The phone rings. The catering company says, okay, you can start tomorrow. Now, when you're totally surrendered to God, then he's the one that's leading you and guiding you and leading you by the Spirit. He will do things like that. Why? Because some things are going to happen in your life that are supernatural. But if you have a tendency to want it to be the way you think it has to be in order for it to be God, you'll miss it. What reminded me of a few stories in the Bible where God does not do things the easy way. What he does things that are untraditional and out of the ordinary. The blessings will come in unusual places. There was a little girl that told Naaman about the prophet. The little girl was on the road as he was going. He says, wait a minute, I know that what you're after, but there is a prophet that you can go and see. Where was the blessing? The blessing for the king was not for him to go to any river, but the blessing was for him to go to the dirty Jordan. See, your blessing comes in unusual ways. Unusual ways. Reminds me of another story with a little boy with fish and chips. Fish and bread. And fed 5,000. Your blessing comes in unusual places, in unusual forms. The prophet was led to the brook and a dirty bird fed him. Unusual way of blessings. Can you imagine if the prophet said, I'm not taking from the raven? Then you're going to die. You're going to die. Because if you want things to be a certain way, you're not going to get God his way. You will only have God your way. You'll begin to formulate how God has to move in your life and put restrictions on God that he can only move in your parameters and not his. He has created the heavens and the earth and created you, and he's going to do it his way. And if you have a tendency to want to buck against his system, he is going to remove the horns and bring you down and humble you and make you go through some things and make you understand it is not about your talents or your gifts. It's about my purpose that's inside of you. Get out of the will of God and I will find a way to get you to where you need to be. Reminds me of another story. There's a widow who the prophet, the husband had died. The prophet comes into town. And she says, help me. The creditor has come. My husband, who was also a prophet, has died. Now the creditor wants to take my boys, wants to take your lineage, wants to take your family, your inheritance, wants to take everything that you are in existence for. Prophet says, what's in your house? She could have said everything. I got the prophet's mantle. Or I got the prophet's rod. I've got his ministry card. I have his seminary degree. She said, no.
I know what's important. I have a little oil. I have a little anointing. I have a little thing stored up in this house. And I begin to wonder, why did he speak to this widow in the house? I'm going to go in a direction right now that some of y'all may not like this. We get very comfortable in the way how God ministers to us and how he speaks to us. But in order for us to receive the blessing of the Lord, he uses the church. The church folks. You want to stay home and watch on internet and TV, whatever you want to do. I'm here to tell you, beloved, listen to me. That is all fine and dandy, but it's not going to come to you unless you get out your house and get into the assembling of the saints. You're going to try to stay in that house and isolate yourself, thinking you know everything. But there's something that you have that is inside of you. It's called the oil of God, the anointing. Where was it? In the house. Why wasn't it outside the house being utilized and being done with? Because then the creditor would have never came. But what has happened is we are holding the oil in our homes. And we're not doing what we're supposed to do with our anointing. So he tells the widow, get out your house. Go find some folks that have some pots. Get as many as you can. What was he telling her? You're so comfortable at home, staying up, crying, staying up in your house, worrying about everything else. Get out your house. Go do what you're supposed to do. Go knock on some doors. I got a purpose in my life. I got some oil that needs to increase. I gotta go get some stuff. You're going to get on in there. You're going to go to some folks that you would have never went to. You're going to knock on doors you would have never knocked on. And they're going to ask a question. They're going to give it to you. They're just going to give it to you. Because when you walk out this thing in the very present will of God, he brings it to you. But you got to get out your house. Bless you. Let him use you. Get out the house. Brings all these pots and kept pouring and pouring and pouring. You see, the blessing is in your reach. Your miracle is in your reach. Your breakthrough is in your reach. Woo! When he took the manna off of the menu, it's because they were in reach of their promise. They were in reach, in close proximity to their breakthrough. They were about to experience a new way of life. They went from being slaves. They went from being dependent on God to now workers of the soil, workers of the seed, and they produced a harvest greater than they have ever experienced in their life. Woo! Your miracle and your blessing is in reach. When he told that widow, get out your house. I got your kids. I've got your family. I'm watching after them. But I need you to move out of your house. I need you to do a certain thing. I need you to go from door to door. I need you to quit being so isolated and just watching the gospel on TV and not getting into a place where the church is the conduit. The church is the place that he will get the blessings to you.
You can be sitting next to your miracle right now. You can be sitting next to the one that's going to bless you, take care of your rent, take care of your phone, take care of your children, take care of your finances. You don't know who God has sent within your midst. Because there's purpose in taking things off of the menu and changing what you've been used to.
Why does God want to take things off of the menu? So you don't get complacent with the blessing, with the provision and the provider. He is Jehovah. He is your provider. He will bring what you need within reach. When the manna fell, it didn't fall in the tent. What has he been saying all along? Get out your house. Get out there and multiply yourself and people. Release your oil that is within. Release the blessing that I've already given you. You are his seed. And he watches his seed. What is he saying? Get out of your house and sow you into others. Sow you into others. And God will bring you a harvest of souls like never before. It will be a blessing for the end of time. You got to get out of your house. You got to put this word to use. You can't sit there and on your iPad, watching it on your TV, watching it on TV. Get out your house. Watch what you're doing. Watch what you're doing. See, when we deal with witchcraft, the word comes. Blessings. Blessings are within reach. But if you don't reach and you don't stretch, the blessing just sits there. And waiting. And waiting. Stretching. I'm calling you out of your house. Because you got oil. Go sow yourself into others. Give of who you are. All you got to do is reach. 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 Students of the word, students of the oil, and students of his presence. It's been there all along, but he had to change the way and the things that you've been eating. Because if not, you would have stayed the same. Get to where I called you to be, sir, in order for you to be who I called you to be. Let some of the old go, and some of the flesh go. Get it twisted. I ain't rebuking you. I'm blessing you. We all have flesh that we got to deal with. But maybe if anything I can tell you to do, worship your way through. Worship your way through. They didn't recognize your gift. They didn't understand who you were. They tried to shut you down many times. They tried to put all kinds of labels on you so that you wouldn't even be who you are. God says, no, I called you to be an instrument for my glory. You've got to understand that what I put inside of you is full. You just got to know how to walk in the fullness of who you are. Bind every word off of you right now that has caused you to shrink back, that has caused you to retreat and caused you to feel like you're inadequate or that you must be overlooked for a reason. But let me remind you, many that have been overlooked and said they were not qualified have been the very ones that have been qualified for His glory. For His glory. Beloved, you know how to usher in His presence. Now do it. You're a blessing of the Most High God. An instrument of the Lord. I encourage you. I encourage you. Do the very thing that He's called you to do. Father, I break off the yoke of oppression off of her right now in the name of Jesus. The spirit of control and witchcraft that has been over your life, over your marriage, that has tried to control you and try to stop you, I break it off of you right now in the name of Jesus. I loose you into your freedom and into your destiny. Your marriage shall remain intact. I hear the Spirit of God saying, when they come against it, they come against my blessing, they come against my covenant, but you are going to do the things that I've called you to do. And even when everybody wants to come against you, with whom you've aligned with, beloved, hear the precious word of the Lord. You are to do what I've called you to do. You are within reach right now of your blessing. My hand is stretched forth to you. All you've got to do is come out of that place of isolation, come out of that place where you've been hiding, and let your gift come forth now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bless you and I release you into your destiny. Man of God, preach like with the fire that comes out of your mouth that has been shut up in your bones, that the prophecy that shall come out of your mouth will be accurate. But beloved, remain humble, and watch that I will exalt you and lift you up. But you got to understand that it is my gift that I've placed inside of you for such a time as this. You have been held back. You have been held back for too long. 2.5 years you've been hearing that you were going to do some things. How is it going to be done? Why am I in this place for so long? They overlooked me. They sit me down. They shut me up. God says that I have called you out of that place of bondage. I've called you out of the false shepherding spirit. My God, the witchcraft is off of your life now in the name of Jesus. Jezebel has been broken off of your ministry. Says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. There's deliverance in the house right now. There's deliverance in the house right now. Come on. Come on. Lift up your hands. Worship Him. Worship Him. He can do it right there, right where you're at. Right where you're at. He can do it right there. All you got to do is surrender your will. Say, Lord, circumcise my heart. Circumcise the fleshy part of my heart, God. I want to remove that which is not of you, God. I want to get rid of that fleshy side of my heart. And I want my heart to be like David's heart, a heart after you, oh God. I may stumble, I may fall, but God, I will repent. I will come in agreement with your spirit, your conviction to know I must confess with my heart, believe in my heart, and confess with my mouth that you are Lord, that you rule supreme over my life. Come on, come on. Come on, there's been some issues taking place in your family that has caused all kinds of dissension, friction, and division. I bind that very spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Loose here, let go. Loose the people of God. Oh, yes. This is not a spirit of addiction. This is the fruit of a deeper root that has caused you to run and seek after things that will bring peace for a moment. It's only temporal. There's an issue deep in your heart because of a loss that has suffered in a marriage and a relationship. And now is your time to have that reality right now that God wants to bring healing to your heart concerning this. Quit running to the drugs. Quit running to the alcohol, pornography, and sexual promiscuity. It is time for you to understand that God is calling you to a place of holiness. He didn't say for you to be perfect. Only He's perfect. But come to the understanding that God wants to loose your heart right now from that bondage right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I speak into the atmosphere right now that this word shall go forth not just into this room and not just into those that are listening by way of the podcast, but it will go forth throughout all the nations. It will go forth throughout all the land. And Father, it will bring healing into those that are suffering right now in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit to be bound now in the name of Jesus. And I loose your people into the freedom. Loose them into the freedom of the Most High God. Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Did the angel of the Most High God come forth now and into this atmosphere to carry the words that have gone forth now in Jesus' mighty name? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. There's been a spirit of witchcraft that has been trying to infiltrate within ministry, within leadership, even in the covenant of the home. You foul and unclean spirit, you've been found out. I'm here to serve notice unto you that the curse is broken and reversed right now in the name of Jesus. We denounce and renounce every activity that anyone has partaken of. And we thank you right now for the very liberty of the Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit, have your way in their heart and their mind to cause them to repent unto you. As they renounce it to you, Lord, they denounce the very act of it now. We shut the door right now in Jesus' mighty name. And we loose the angels of the Most High God right now to bring about liberty. Destroy the yokes, O God, with your anointing, Lord. We thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you. Yes. Hallelujah, God. Father, oh precious Holy Spirit, we thank you that today is a day that you have earmarked for your love, that our palate has changed, that we're no longer craving what we used to, but now we crave for the newness. For it is a new season, a new day, a new land, a new territory. It is fresh, it is new. Let us embark on this journey with the Holy Spirit, guiding us and leading us in all areas of our life. Father, I thank you for the new season. I thank you for the new day. I thank you, God, that there is a fresh oil flowing our way. Let us be the vessels, God, that will receive your pouring of your Spirit. And Lord, I thank you that we will empty our pots to others. We will give ourselves and sow our seed and be the conduits for your blessing. And we thank you for it now in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's children say amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on, he's good. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Come on, just thank the Lord.
That you'll be smelling, the fragrances you'll be smelling, is a reminder of where he is, a reminder of what he's done. Many will come and thank you. Thank you. I want to encourage you, beloved, through the hardship, through the trial, I encourage you to know that he's a ministering spirit for the Lord to do the bidding of the Lord. As he was here on earth doing all of the help, my precious one, God says, I need someone to help me. I encourage you to see. Many are going to thank you. Many are going to thank you because of him. I'm going to turn some things around. But let her grieve. Let her grieve. It'll only be for a moment, and I'll remove it. Let her grieve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Ooh. Oh, he's so good. He is so good. Yeah. Oh, he's good. He's good. Those that have gone through a time of persecution, through words, judgment, someone being critical about you. I want to encourage you. When you're tested and you're put on blast, it's because you can withstand the fiery darts. You worship the King. His name is Jesus. And he will remove the adversary on your behalf. Worship the King. Amen. You're going to see some things changing in your life, in your personal life. You'll see it. I encourage you. A lot of things are going to change. Good things. It's good. Amen. Amen. If you would, I know we've been standing up now. Let's stand as we close in prayer together as family. I know we went over a little bit, just a little bit. Right where you stand, right where you're at. I want you to experience this right now for yourself. For yourself. Whatever ought you have, whatever offense you have with your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your children, your pastor, now's the time to release it right now. You release it. Give that to God. Cast all your cares upon me. All your cares. Let them go. Come on, let them go. Just let them go. Just walk in that liberty and freedom in him. Just let it all go. Just let it all go. That's it. Just bring that peace, oh God. You are the comforter, oh Lord. I'll comfort your children right now to bring about the greatest peace in their life. Bring security in their heart to know the change is there for them, and it's within reach. Let's let all this go. Let's let the anger go. Come on, let the anger go. Come on, some of you in here, one in particular, I know it, God's been, he's been pricking your heart the whole time. He's been trying to deal with you, but you've been holding on, you've been holding on, you've been holding on. It's just the Lord, man. It's just the Lord. Let it go, brother. Just let it go. Let him do it. Just let him do it. The more you surrender unto him, wow, he will change the way you see things. And even as you see him, he'll change the way you experience him as well. We just let it go now in the precious name of our Lord. Now, Father, as they release right now, and they've asked, Father God, even unto you, forgiveness, forgiveness. Touch their heart. Touch them. And let them know that everything is turning around for their good. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. I love you. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Let his face to shine richly upon you. Let his presence, his power be all over you for whatever you're in need of, even if it's just a touch from him. Let him radiate his presence around you today. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. God has good things in store for you. Your best day is still yet to come. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see you next week on Sunday. God bless you.